Okay, so we're in the middle of trying to figure out what exactly Hillel meant when he said to this potential convert that the whole Torah is about V'ahavta l'racha kamecha. You want to know the whole Torah on one foot? They said, no problem. Shammai hit him over the head. Hillel said, it's very simple. V'ahavta l'racha kamecha, this is the whole Torah. V'idach pirushu, the rest is just, as we say, commentary. So as we mentioned in previous classes, Rashi explains this enigma in two possible ways. One way Rashi says is V'ahavta l'reacha. Reacha means it's not talking about a person. It's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Reacha v'rea avicha al tazev. In Mishlei, Chav Zayin is talking about the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So b'meila, when it says that the whole Torah is about loving V'ahavta l'reacha, it really means Avas Hashem is the whole Torah. And number two, that the Kavanah of Hillel, Kol HaTorah, doesn't mean Kol HaTorah Mamesh. It means much, a significant portion of Torah. Many, many of the mitzvahs. He says, like, Gzela, Gneva, Niyof, Rev mitzvahs. Many mitzvahs. So, as we went over this previously also, the Nesivos Eilon and the Maharal asks some very strong questions. And he says, the first thing he says is, to say V'ahavta l'reacha is talking about the Eibishter. It's pashat not pshutei shel mikra. It's not the pshutei. It's not even how Rashi explains it al-Teira. Rashi comes along and says, uses the words of Rebbe Akiva, Zekla gadol b'teira. V'pashtos, that's because the mitzvahs, the collection of mitzvahs that come prior to this pasuk are all about concern and compassion and sensitivity and care for another. So b'meila, it's very hard to accept that on some level of drush you could accept that Reacha is talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the simple read of the pasuk, and it's not the simple read of what Hillel meant when he said that. You can't say V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, and Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't say the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is one mitzvah, the mitzvah of loving a fellow yid is another mitzvah, and the mitzvah of loving a fellow yid, the pasuk is V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, not V'ahavta Hashem l'kecha. So the Maral says it's not kipshutei, because it doesn't stim, doesn't fit with the literal meaning at all. And he said even the second answer of Rashi is a tzarech in gadol. It requires a tremendous amount of further investigation. And that's because the ger came and he said, the potential ger, he said, lamdeini kol ha-Torah kula. He said, teach me the whole Torah. It didn't say teach me a portion of Torah, a lot of Torah, a chunk of Torah. He said, teach me the whole Torah. And the pashtas his kavana was, kol ha-Torah kula mamash. And that's why Shammai hit him over the head, rightly. What kind of chutzpah is that? What insolence. He comes along and says, teach me the whole Torah. And furthermore, because Hillel, in his answer, he says, Zeu kol ha-Torah, and he says, Ve'idach pirushahu. So in Hillel's, so to speak, expression, it seems very, very clear that he means, kipshutei, quite literally, that it is the whole Torah. In the Sefer Reish Yosef, he says, Nesei Sefer V'nechzev, let's take a book and look, start counting up the mitzvahs, you'll see that mitzvahs of Yahav, the Avas Reyecha, is not most of the mitzvahs. It's not most, it's many of the mitzvahs, not most of the mitzvahs. He maintains it might even be a mute of the mitzvahs. Of the 613 mitzvahs, it's less than half. So the question then goes back, how do we explain Hillel? What was Hillel saying? What did Hillel mean? And this is what the Alter Rebbe comes to explain here in Perek Lamed Beis. He explains this in a radically different way. And when we finished understanding the way the Alter Rebbe, reframes this mitzvah, then we have a fresh appreciation of the concept of Zeo Kol HaTorah Kula, which Hillel emphasizes. Doesn't say Zeo Kol HaTorah. He says Zeo Kol HaTorah Kula, this is the whole Torah, V'idich Pirushu. So what is the pshat? So the pshat is that if a person would properly connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the mitzvah of V'ahavta l'reacha would come naturally. And if a person would be fulfilling the mitzvah of V'ahavta l'reacha properly, automatically it would be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes two ways. And Alter Rebbe explains it like this. He says, Yesed v'sheirash kol ha-Torah, the foundation and the root of the entire Torah is lahagbia o la'aleis ha-nefesh al-aguf, is to elevate the soul to make the spiritual reality predominant over the material. Now, when you get to the language, with regard to the language of Yesod and Shedesh, there's a famous Maimer from the Rebbe, where the Rebbe explains that Yesod and Shedesh is two separate things. Sometimes you can have something which is a Yesod, it's a foundation, and sometimes you could have something which is a Shedesh, it's a root, it's where something grew out of, but it may not be connected to it anymore. And I gave an example a couple of weeks ago, maybe months ago. I was talking about the Reichman's oldest business. They sell tiles. It's called Olympia and York, your competition. So they're still selling tiles. But that's not their primary business anymore. It's like, whatever, they held on to it. They started that way. Many people have parnassa. They give a lot of people jobs. You could argue that it is the Shedesh, it's the root. That's where the Rachman's business started. I think that's actually true. I think that was the first business they're in. Nobody could say with any straight face that that is the foundation of the business, even after Canary Wharf and even after whatever happened. It's still not the foundation. The foundation of their business, the bulk of their business is definitely real estate. Whatever, they do some tiles on the side. But I don't know if it brings in $2 million, $5 million a year, way more, $10 million a year. It's still not the foundation of the Reichman's business.
Where do you do the marble? 1 million square feet.
Okay, 1 million square feet that you saw, and the factory to do the marble, and I'm telling you, it's not the foundation of the business.
Still 1 million square feet.
And the Abish, they should bless them, and they should make a lot of money, and they should be great. It's all great. But the bottom line is, I'm saying, you could easily argue that it was the Shedesh, but you cannot say that it's the Yesod anymore. Maybe it was once the Yesod. When we say the language of Yesod and Shedesh, we're saying that's where it starts from, and we're saying that continues to be the foundation. It's not the same thing. For example, we have this notion, chanoich lanar al pi darkei, that when you educate a child, you have to educate the child by virtue of what the child understands. So already it's brought in Machzor Vitri, who was a Talmud of Rashi, that when children would learn Aleph Beis the first time, that they would put honey on the page of the Siddur, and the child would lick off the honey. This was in a time when people used to beat children, when it was normal, corporal punishment was considered to be indispensable, and children were told to be seen and not heard, and so on and so forth. Talking about 7 centuries ago, and we have actual documentation of how a children brought into learning Torah by learning that the Torah is sweet in the most literal way. So it's a very powerful way for a child to have a first impression. And as they say, you don't get a second chance to make first impressions. And certain things, we have association mentally. Certain realities become associated a certain way to us. And it's very hard to shake those things. Sometimes it's impossible to shake them. Once your mind is formed a certain way, once you have a certain bias, that's automatically the way you tend to look at it. You could argue with a person, you could explain to him why his bias is wrong. He may even accept it. But his first approach, his what's called muskulation, his first snapshot is always going to be through a certain lens. The truth is that words of Torah are not sweet like honey. It's a metaphor at best. Honey is honey, and Torah is Torah, and they're not one of the same. It's honey is physically sweet, and it speaks to your taste buds, and the Torah is sweet on a different madrega. Just like we could have a sweet song, it could be a sweet person, it could be a sweet moment in life, and it has nothing to do with taste buds. So it's a metaphor. But the point is, we want the child to have his association in his mind, his bias is that when he opens a sefer, he shouldn't feel the strap, the stick, and the birch. What should he think of? His first association should be something that was pleasant, something that was sweet. A lot of people ask me why I let children run around, and they say, Allah and Shulchan Aruch should bring small children to the shul, and the shul should be a quiet place. My response is very simple, that when a child comes to shul and has a good time in shul, that becomes his first muskulation, that becomes his first impression. He associates shul with candies and with fun. The Rambam says you should give candies to children in shul. And if the child associated with sweetness, so that becomes his muskulation. Till the end of his life, when he thinks of shul, the association of shul and the rabbi and davening is associated with something sweet. That's a very powerful thing. It's very hard to erase that. Where people went to Hebrew school and they got the JNF box thrown at them and they got beaten and the knuckles wrapped. Until today, they kvetch about it. These people are 60 and 70 years old, and they still have frustration, and they're still nervous. Why? Because this was their first impression. This was their first introduction. So we could say something is a Shedesh, but it's no longer a yesod. And Chanecho Narapi Darke is a very important sheirish. It's a good way to begin. But if you're sitting down with 20-year-old students and you're putting honey on the page of the Gemara, something is profoundly wrong. It's just like, this is not right. This is not, it's not normal. I once heard a cute story that there was a certain, one of the Pelush Rebbes, it's a big gadol b'Yisrael, and he came to a certain town. So there was the train station was mobbed and everybody came there but to catch sight of this great rabbi. And there was a porter, very gruff fellow. He said, what's everybody pushing for? What's the crowd for? So they said, you didn't hear such and such a Rebbe is coming to town. People came to greet him. Who is he? What's his name? So he said his name. He said, he's an idiot. So the chassidim wanted to tear the guy apart. How dare you speak like that? Then he said, why are you saying that? He said, well, I went to cheder with him. He was a fool. He was a fool as a child. I'm sure he's still a fool now. So they said to him, listen, you're a porter. You're schlepping packages. This man is a genius. His Torah level is on the highest level. Like, how could you say he's a fool? He said, listen, they fooled him from day one. I knew he came to cheder, and the teacher had candies over there. And he said, whoever sits today and learns nicely is going to get a candy at the end of the day. He said, he was a fool. He learned. He got his candy. I knew at a certain time the candies end, and then they hook you. That's it. And you're stuck learning. He said, see, I never went for it. I knew the candies would end. I never learned the Jewish word, he said, in the cheder. But your Rebbe, he will learn the whole day, didn't waste a second, and he got a candy. And you look, you see what happened to him? So that's a sheirish, but not a yesod. Now the Rebbe says over here that yesod v'sheirish kol ha-teira. Not only it's the sheirish, it's the origin of the whole teira, but ultimately it's the foundation of the whole teira. And this continues to be a foundation. It's not just something good for children. It's not a little nursery rhyme to sing with Jews who are starting their journey. But the yesod v'sheirish kol ha-teira is lahagbio la'alais ha-nefesh al-guf, is to create the supremacy of the soul over the bodily reality. And it has to be understood that we speak here not only of the body in a literal sense. Yes, that's true. The body, quite literally, is slothful and frustrated and wants comfort. We're creatures of comfort and pleasure. It's not true. It's all true. But in a deeper sense, bodily reality means my independence, my needs independent from others or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about me. The I syndrome, which is how, say, society functions. Everything is an I. That means the bodily reality is the I. And the whole Torah came to help us get past the I. Like that little vignette of the guy who came to Shul and he said, Rabbi, I'm pulling my membership. It's not working for me. I'm leaving. The rabbi said, okay, what's not working for you? He said, I came to synagogue expecting to find myself. And it hasn't worked for me. So I'm out of here. The rabbi said, that's funny. I was always told people come to synagogue to lose themselves, not to find themselves. So the whole idea of Yiddishkeit is to be able to lose yourself. To lose yourself means where it's not about you. It's not about me. There's something greater than I and me. And it's not, I didn't come to this world just to pleasure myself and serve myself. That's really idolatry, ultimately. That becomes self-serving, a self-serving individual. And instead of being self-serving, we should become Avdei Hashem. We should become servants of the Almighty. So this concept of every single one of us has the Neshama HaKadosha. In the Alter Rebbe's words of Perek Beis, the Alter Rebbe says that this is called a Chelik Elikam Imal Mamash, that's literally a piece of God. What does it mean, a piece of God? How could it be a piece of God? So obviously it's not physical, Chas V'Shalom. There's no corporeality ascribed to God. So the point is that there is a part of us which feels and knows and senses the concept of Ein Ed Muvadeh, that there's nothing other than God, that senses that the only truth is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Almighty, and the only reality is the Almighty. And everything else is a mirage. Everything else was created by God merely to test and to create obstacles for the neshama so the neshama could overcome it. And there's a part of us that knows that. And the part of us that knows that, that part of us is called a piece of God. So if we have that inside of us, so we have that neshama, why don't we feel it more often? Why isn't it something that is apparent all the time? And the answer, simply stated, is that the guf, the body, gets in the way. The guf is master, al eir haneshama. The guf hides the eir haneshama. Just like in general, the word olam, the word in Hebrew for world, is the same Hebrew word for concealment, helam. And the nature of the world is that it conceals the presence of the Creator, the constant, ongoing presence of Hashem's creation. So olam katan zeh adam, the small world is a person. And the small world by dint of the fact that God created it in a certain way, has the ability to cloud the neshama, to throw shade over the neshama. The neshama doesn't, we don't feel that part of ourselves. And instead of feeling God, we feel ourselves. That's the first feeling that a person has. A baby only thinks about himself. He's not capable of thinking about anybody else. Wake up his parents in the middle of the night, yell, scream, throw tantrums. Say, be a mensch. It's all about you. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What do you have to wake us up for? The baby doesn't know what you're talking about. Now, the baby's not bad. The baby's innocent. It's still not appropriate. The thing is, for a baby, it's what a baby does. If you're still doing that when the children are 25, then you're in big trouble. Even when they're 15, if they're still doing that, you're in trouble. At a certain point, a person learns how to be a mensch, not to think about himself all day. So what is that called? What is that called? That's called in Yiddishkeit, that's called lahalais hanefesh ala guf. To make the nefesh supreme and to transcend guf.
But we have two nefesh, no?
We have two nefesh, but here the emphasis is on the nefesh alikis.
All right.
That's what we're talking about here. So the nefesh alikis has to get past the body. And this is the teichen of Torah mitzvahs. Why is that the teichen of Torah mitzvahs? Because every mitzvah is a vehicle, it's an envelope in which the Shechina could reside. Like we learned yesterday in Lukot HaTorah, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Heichal Hashem Heima. That they're a Heichal Hashem. What does it mean a Heichal Hashem? It means the Jewish people have the power of actually having the presence of God reside in them. As Rabbi Yechmiel discussed yesterday, talked about the idea of Besech Kol Echad V'Echad, the famous Seishas Chochma and Shalah. Shepashtas, we believe actually comes from Chazal, because we lost the Chazal about it. We don't have that exact that tzitut. This emphasis on v'shachanti b'seicham, that God rests amongst each and every one of us. So what does that mean? If there's a Beis HaMikdash, that's it. There's a Beis HaMikdash. Now God rests inside us. So why do we need a Beis HaMikdash then? Why can't God rest inside every one of us? Why did it need this to make a location of wood and of gold and of tapestry? And that's to be, God should rest there, but really he's not resting there. Anyway, his presence is amongst us. So let just God rest amongst us. And anyway, the Zohar says, when the Zohar speaks about this, the Zohar says, how does it come? That it comes through crushing the Yetzer Hara, transforming the natural abilities that God gave us, harnessing them. So it means to say that the Beis HaMikdash is the power station. That's where the presence of God is in a very manifest way. And by us trying to live a Beis HaMikdash-like life, by us performing Iskafia, which means to restrain our Yetzer Hara and to crush our animal soul, and not to give in to every one of its whims and desires. What happens then is that the Shechina that's found in this big power station called Beis HaMikdash actually makes its way into every single one of our neshamas, that we all become receivers of this energy, of this presence of God. And how do we do that? Just break yourself? No, it's no point of just breaking yourself. The Torah doesn't have any, the Eibush doesn't have joy in Yidden denying themselves and hurting themselves, chas v'shalom. There are faith systems that believe in that. Judaism is not chas v'shalom like that. What does Judaism want? Judaism wants, like the Baal Shem Tov taught, ozev tazavimei, to help the body, to break the body is not a good thing. A Yid has to be gesund, to shmartem, eidl nafshaseichem, you have to take care of the bodily reality. But the point is that not every whim and every desire of the body has to be given into. And when a Yid denies his animal soul, his Yetzer Hara, its desires, and instead, what does he do? It's not just good enough to deny a desire. So he didn't do what my desires. And a Yid does a mitzvah. And when a Yid does a mitzvah, this is the kavana al yena. This is what God wanted. God wants that a Jew should be studying Torah. God wants a Yid should be eating matzah on the night of Pesach. God wants a Yid should be sitting in the sukkah the night of Sukkot. God wants a Yid should be giving tzedakah. God wants us to be doing mitzvahs. So when we're doing a mitzvah, then that's the vehicle through which we're able to download and bring the presence of Hashem into our life. So really, when you think about it, what is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a making the peace of God inside us that knows in it mulvaday of curating and nurturing it. So a person will come to the rabbi, I don't believe in God. So first of all, the God you don't believe in, I don't believe in either. Because you have these silly ideas of God, and that's you don't even know what it means that you don't believe in God. So what should I do? I should do mitzvahs. What should do mitzvah? I don't believe. The Gemara said, Tech Shalei Lishma. So do mitzvahs for whatever reason. The reality is that when we do a mitzvah, it makes the animal reality of that we have less dense. And it allows the Erda Neshama to shine through. So therefore, if a person is doing mitzvahs right, the more mitzvahs you do, like the Rambam says, that the more maisa, the more a person does an act of a mitzvah, it refines him. And if it refines him, then the neshama begins to shine through. So this is Yisaid and the Shadish of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's all about predominance of the nefesh over the guf. The guf conceals godliness, it conceals the reality of Einei Mavadei, and the neshama seeks to reveal that. And the methodology is called Torah Mitzvahs. And when we behave in a way of Torah Mitzvahs, doing all the Torah Mitzvahs, then what happens? Then the neshama reveals itself. So why don't we love each other? Why don't we care each other? Because I care about me and you care about you. But that's all of a bodily reality. That's all, if not in a corporeal sense, that's metaphorically speaking, it's the body that separates us. I care about me. Everybody cares about number one. But if we learn Torah and do mitzvahs enough, eventually we'll be able to transcend that. If we could transcend that, then, which is what Torah mitzvah is about, then naturally, what will we be doing? Then we'll be fulfilling the mitzvah. Obviously so. The whole problem of Yahavta L'Ra'acha Kamecha, the challenges, the inherent challenges of Yahavta L'Ra'acha Kamecha are only because of bodily predominance. But if the nefesh would become predominant, then all of a sudden this would fade away. And another thing the Alter Rebbe says, that not only is the point of the neshama and the guf, that the neshama should be able to overcome the bodily reality, but furthermore, that the neshama is supposed to be elevated, lahalis and nefesh ala guf, maila, maila, the ikra v'sharsha de chol almin, to elevate the neshama to the ikra and the shedish of all worlds. So what's the ikr and the shedish of all worlds? Once we have this emphasis on ikr and shedish, it's not only the shedish, but it's the continued mainstay, it's the foundation of all of existence, of all creation, is the deepest levels of Neshamas Yisrael. So Neshamas Yisrael on the surface are all independent realities. Le'erei zekerei is in language of the Gemara. There's not common denominators. Every neshama is different. There's Mare Teira, Mare Uvdin Tovin, like the Zera says. There are those neshamas that excel in Torah study, those neshamas who excel in tzedakah, those neshamas who excel in performance of mitzvahs. Everybody has their job. It says Gefem Mitzrayim Tasiya, that the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim, they were like a vineyard. And the way the Friedrich Rebbe explains it, that the vineyard has grapes, and the vine has leaves, and the vine has twigs, and they all serve a purpose. And he says, the Friedrich Rebbe says over there that the leaves serve to protect the grapes. And the Amei Oretz are simple people, through being Tamchen Deraisa, through supporting Torah study, they protect the scholars. And we have this symbiism. We're all doing this, the Yisachar and the Zevulun paradigm. We all have a job to do. We all have a mission in life. And it's not always the same thing. And a lot of times people's mistake is they're trying to do somebody else's job. Do your job. Do what you do best. And do it well. So on some level, the neshamas are different. But on a different level, all neshamas ultimately, they fuse into one. It's just like, metaphorically, that when a baby is first conceived, it's literally a single cell. And that cell continues to divide and continues to develop. And at some point, there becomes a difference in the cellular material. And as gestation continues, the differences become more and more vast. Eventually, we have the cellular structure of a toenail and the cellular structure of the brain, and they really have virtually nothing to do with each other, other than they have the same DNA encoded into it. But you cannot imagine any way that that's one and the same, and you certainly can't regrow brain cells from toenail cells. However, they have something called stem cells, and stem cells are like an earlier stage of the gestation. An earlier stage of gestation, they say stem cells could mutate. But if you go back to the first moment of gestation, the whole person has to be there. We didn't come out of nowhere. There was no later infusion. There was no drip. Nothing was added to the mix. That means everything had to be there in a way which is absolutely mind-boggling. And at that point, everything was one. But that oneness eventually develops. And if you're looking in the Kisvei Arizal, you'll see that he describes the gestation of a baby that happens in a physical sense as parallel to the spiritual gestation of a neshama coming out of the treasure trove of the neshamas. And the neshamas are emitted from what's called the guf in the Gemara, and the neshama develops. And the neshamas, this is what's called in the language of Chassidus and Kabbalah, malchus d'atzilus, that's the womb, so to speak. And when the neshamas emit from there, the neshamas are born, they're unique, different, or separate neshamas. But on some level, all neshamas are really one and the same. And this is, in the language of Pnimius HaTeira, the difference in igulim and yesher. So igulim means circles, and yesher means a line. A kav, a line, is made up of many dots, mathematically speaking. So if you have a vertical line, you have all these dots, and one is beneath the other. Together, it forms a single line, but they all, there's one higher, one lower. But if you take that same line, and you rotate it, and you fuse the beginning and the end, as we say, seif maisev b'machshavat chila, the final action, that was the first thought, and we have this concept of like it says in Sefer Yetzirah, that you create the beginning is wedged in the end, and the edge is wedged in the beginning until such point, till you can't find where the beginning and end is. The circle has no beginning or end. If you're sitting around the round table, who's sitting at the head of the table? Not everybody's sitting at the head of the table. Nobody's sitting at the head of the table. There is no head of the table. There is no head. I was once at somebody's house. I thought it was very interesting. The dining room is a round table. I said, why do you do it? He says, I don't want to sit at the head of the table. I want people to come to my table. I want everybody equal. He says, I don't know if I agree with that, but it's an interesting concept. To have everybody, a round table represents, a circle represents equality. On some level, all neshamas are one. That's why in Simchas Torah, we dance in a circle, like the Alter Rebbe says in the Maim Ravatim Mitzavim, because in Simchas Torah, we reach a level of neshama in which we all have the same connection to the Torah. The Meirasher Kilis Yankiv, the inheritance that every Jew is connected to the Torah. So on that level, it doesn't really make a difference. And this is ultimately the purpose is the guf, the neshama did not only come to achieve dominance over the body, but ultimately the neshama came to reveal its essence. And its essence is only revealed, like heroism is only revealed when a person's in a harrowing situation. Heroes are only created under the most difficult of circumstances. How is it possible that the neshama should go maila maila? The neshama should peel back the layers. The neshama should go higher and yet higher. Ad ikra v'sharsh l'dechol amon, to the source of everything. Where we say, the neshamas Yisrael alu b'machshava. And the whole purpose of creation was neshamas Yisrael. And that's what the Eibishter wanted with the whole cosmos, is that neshamas Yisrael should learn Torah and mitzvahs. If you keep taking the neshama back to its essence, you reach a level where it's a circle. So if it's a circle, we're all part of, so to speak, a common thing. So what do you mean? How could you hate another yid? Doesn't make any sense. How could you despise this person? You don't like him. He's not like you. He's different from you. But that's only superficially speaking. And maybe even say, this is neshama, different kind of neshama. He's a mari uvdin tov, and I'm a mari teira. We don't see things alike. We're not living in the same world. And it's true, you aren't. But if you can actually take the neshama and raise it up to a higher madrega, where every yid ultimately is part of that circle, so then automatically the mitzvah of yihafsad erchamecha becomes natural. It falls into place. And in this way, the Alter Rebbe says, it's possible to understand the words of Hillel. This is the really profound statement of Hillel when he said, Zeu kol ha-teira kula. This is what he meant. That he meant that the whole Teira mitzvahs is designed to help a person, enable a person to reach a level where indeed Reyacha becomes Kamoicha, your fellow becomes you, Mamesh. To be continued.
It's like an army.